asking? What? He said, what? He said, what? Try that. That's good, too. Something ethnic, anything you want. Well, President Obama now says he was hallucinating at the Mandela funeral. Well, thank you. Thank you. That was smattering. What do you know?
Live from Boise, Idaho to Little Rock, Arkansas, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International.
That's a good start.
That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, it's Want Not author Jonathan Miles, all the news that isn't, and the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the hills are alive with the sound of Michael Feldman.
Oh, yeah. With songs they have heard. All right, then. Okay. She did pretty good, Carrie Underwood. I didn't watch it.
Well, how do you know?
I heard some people liked her a lot. Okay. All right, I'm just saying. Thanks, Bitsy. Appreciate that. You should tell people why you're called Bitsy. Why is that?
It's so cute.
It is cute.
It's because I'm so cute.
All right.
Oh, look, they like it. I didn't even have to press the applause
button.
Well,
then why don't they call you Bunny Wunny or something? They could call you anything. Oh, why Bitsy?
That's too diminishing. I would never allow myself to be called Bunny Wunny. Bitsy, on the other hand.
Yeah.
That's a keeper. Plus, you can say it.
You're
really
not going to say, are you? Your people want to get to know a little about you. Why are you Bitsy?
I'm not going to say a single thing.
You're not going to say? No. You're not going to tell people why you're Bitsy?
Mm-mm. No.
It's a cute story.
Yeah. Go. You go ahead. You tell it, Michael.
No, I don't. Okay.
It's important to
you don't give an inch, do you, Bitsy?
No, and it's
not
important.
Not even a little Bitsy.
Not even a little Bitsy.
Like people want a little human thing, and it's very cute. Yeah. You call Bitsy by your... Someone.
Somebody once upon a time called me Bitsy and it stuck.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing. Anyhow, so if the president was hallucinating, the interpreter got it exactly right. That's the way I look at it. And schizophrenics everywhere understood it perfectly. You know, that's what I thought it was a good thing. Anyway, hallucination is a good excuse for that selfie. Oh, John is interpreting now. But don't you think, I mean, a lot of those people make up those signs. A lot of those people make up those signs. You know? And usually deaf people don't complain a lot about that sort of thing.
Well, it was a little suspicious. He was doing like one, like over and over. It's like, they can't.
And he was doing some chest beating, which I think is more NFL than anything else. I don't think necessarily professional football was mentioned during the speech.
No.
Okay. He's kind of a ref, more like soccer, maybe a soccer ref or something. Okay, what was I saying? Anyway, hallucination is a good excuse for that selfie with the way hot Danish prime minister, huh? Hella, hella. Oh, hella, I love you, won't you tell me your name? She was so, you know, all right, so, I mean, Cameron was at fault, really. The British Prime Minister. They did a sandwich thing with Hella in the middle, and it was really her selfie. But the guys were just crushing her, you know, and his wife is sitting there. The Obama's wife, Michelle, was sitting right there, and she was clearly at a funeral. Worst case scenario. Well, I was just saying, David and Barry's Excellent Adventure. All right. And now, of course, the House is looking into it to see if taking a selfie at a funeral is impeachable. See, that's one thing. Even at The Sopranos, they never did that, took a selfie at a funeral. I think if you do it with the dearly departed.
That's okay.
In the picture. No, I think that's impeachable.
Oh,
that's a violation. Shouldn't happen. Anyway, in other news besides that, the Chinese lunar lander lands on the moon, claims all the lack of airspace. Vacuum space? What do they have on the moon? I have no idea. North Korea lunar lander landed, of course, with Kim Jong-un's uncle on the moon. And one of these days, Alice, I guess there's no Kim Jong-un in Uncle, is what it comes down to. A lot of people say it was the aunt's fault. You know, I think she was behind it. So, I personally liked my uncle. I can't imagine really doing that. I can see firing him, but killing him, I think, is going too far. It's my aunt who used to bug me. I don't know. Everyone's different. Every family is different. Let's see. The Mega Millions jumps to nearly Obamacare website levels. So that's getting up there. Wisconsin Representative Paulie Ryan is out from under his parents' Blue Cross Blue Shield, so he had to sign up for Obamacare. How's that for irony? Bound to happen. And then Paulie put on his big boy suit and comes up with a budget deal. How about that? Big day for the Ryans. Got insurance. Got the budget deal. There are fewer across-the-board cuts, but more below-the-belt cuts. And those cuts hurt below the belt, believe me. Pope Francis was named Time Magazine's Person of the Year, but as Renault, never will be Car and Driver's Car of the Year. So that's the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh, I guess, in these awards. Let's see, at the Screen Actors Guild nominations, 12 Years a Butler takes all the awards. 12 Years a Butler, that's what it says. I don't know why you're puzzled. Oprah did not get nominated for the best whatever she was in that movie. But Stedman was nominated for 12 Years a Boyfriend. In other related news, I guess 365,000 are now in Obamacare, which sounds good, until you realize that 6.7 million people went to see an opera. Last year. Pales, I guess. GM's first female CEO says her first priority will be the Chevrolet Silverado. Thank you. Smiley face, they liked it. Legal weed is available January 1st in Colorado or Uruguay, whichever is more convenient. Montevideo sounds nice this time of year. The International Space Station AC is out, and try getting an HVAC guy to go out there in orbit. Almost impossible. The good news, Tom Hanks is suiting up. Get out there and fix it with just common household objects and duct tape. Ladies and gentlemen, Tom Hanks. Let's hear it for Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks! See? See what I mean? Nice to have one of those. I'm going to get one at home. Okay, Bavaria has abandoned plans to reprint Mein Kampf. Instead, they are coming out with an edition of Unintimidated. The Scott Walker book. Yes, okay. All right, after the success of Sound of Music with Carrie Underwood, next for NBC, Yentl with Miley Cyrus. It's a natural, it's an obvious thing. Stung by the lack of black females in the cast, Saturday Night Live is going to add Juana Mann to the show. Juana Mann. Did you ever see that? Juana Mann is a movie with this guy who plays. But, okay. I don't care. I like it. Smiley face, Michael. Keep trying. Keep trying. Oh, let's see. Frigid temperatures sweep the country. They're calling it winter. It's not so bad. It's a dry cold. Yeah. That's why it's dry ice out there, practically. It's great for guys who come back with a deer and don't have a freezer. You know, you just hang it from the basketball hoop. Especially if it's next to the neighbor's window, that's ideal. Till April, when you can get to it. Let's see, twice as many people sign up for Mars as Kenosha. Thought that was unusual. Major League Baseball outlaws home plate collisions, so I guess I can lose that home plate collision deductible I've been carrying. Still a good idea to have the uninsured catcher protection, in case your catcher does not have insurance. Okay, I'm almost out of here. A dairy farmer, you'll like this, a dairy farmer has been brought into Lambeau Field to slap, poke, and force Aaron Rodgers to his feet. Otherwise, just a lot of really expensive steaks and chops there. Roger says it still hurts to do the discount to double check. So that's what they're waiting on, and that's all the news. That is not news. Thank you. Thank you so much. Oh, thank you. They really liked it. There's just one local thing here that doesn't fit in anything here, but I thought this is good. Thiensville, hey. A Thiensville man cited after hurrying to get hamburgers home to wife, is the headline. An 88-year-old Thiensville man may have taken the happy wife, happy life adage too far when police say he failed to report a recent accident. According to the police report, the 88-year-old man was cited for failing to report a hit-and-run accident after his car struck a parked vehicle on Green Bay Road on December 2nd. Police traced the vehicle debris left at the scene to a body shop in Milwaukee. That was quite a trail of debris, apparently. The Thiensville man told police he was returning from the Wendy's in Brown Deer and knew he hit something, but said it was important to get the burgers home for his wife. The police reported said he was also not too concerned that he struck another vehicle. In addition to being cited for the accident, he was referred to the state of Wisconsin for a medical review. I can see what he meant, though. You know, can't you? I think justifiable hit and run, if there is, ever was one. Jonathan Miles has a book out. It's called Want Not. And this is a great book. You got to read this. He is the author of the Dear American Airlines. You may have read that one. This is his latest one. And he's with us now from Hazelhurst in Mississippi. So he's back home. All right, Jonathan, how are you? Are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, hi. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for having me back.
Yeah. So how does a Southern boy know so much about New Jersey? Is the question.
That's where I live these days.
Yeah. You learn fast, though, huh? You seem to know the ins and outs of New Jersey. Because this basically is an homage to all the possibilities of Jersey life in Whatnot, don't you think?
That's right. That's right. It's my Valentine to my adopted home state.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Are you from Oxford or are you from Hazelhurst, I presume?
Oxford is where I lived for the most of my life.
Yeah, because I saw that the Square Books there had a notice. They call you Johnny, so I know you're from there.
That's right. That's right. No, I'm in Hazelhurst right now because I'm actually in central Mississippi at a deer camp. But
you're at deer camp?
I'm at deer camp.
How cool.
But the deer camp doesn't have a phone, so I had to come to a friendly motel.
So is that fun or what? Are you having fun?
Yeah, yeah. Although I'll tell you, if you want to see a skeptical expression, go to a motel in full camo and tell them you need a room just for a little while to make a phone call.
Right. And, of course, no one else comes in, so they really know what you're up to in there. Johnny. Now, Johnny Miles in the hotel room there by himself for a short time. So that's cool. And were you the drinks guy at the New York Times?
I was for 4 years. It was a great job.
Yeah. So that was a stepping stone.
It was. I had the best beat at the Times. I was writing every 2 weeks about a new cocktail, and I did that until I ran out of adjectives.
Yeah. What's the best thing you can say about a cocktail? I mean, a good ad. Give me some good descriptives.
Well, at a certain point, if you're trying to describe gin, you just run out.
Yeah.
You know, cedar and all the flavor notes. And
yeah.
Ultimately, I heard a story once about a travel writer who retired because he said he just couldn't find a new way to describe a beach.
You can count the grains of sand, but that gets old.
Right.
Yeah, and the drinks. So now, did you come right from Mississippi to the drinks editor at the New York Times? How did that work?
There was a brief interlude. I left Mississippi and did freelance journalism for a while, and then the drinks column opened up, and I grabbed it with both hands. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, writing fiction,
yeah.
Buying in the meantime.
So all this while, you had the fiction thing going.
Yes.
Was that on the back burner or was that on the front burner, or what burner do you use?
It depended on the day.
Yeah.
You know, when I was writing nonfiction, I desperately wanted to be writing fiction because I could make it all up. Mm. While writing fiction, I desperately wanted to be writing nonfiction because I knew exactly where the story was going.
Yeah. So now, Deer Camp, so this sort of, the story here, one of the big factors in this story is recycling a used deer. It's all about things being recycled and thrown away and reclaimed and so forth. The major one seems to be this deer, roadkill.
There was. I have a character who hits a deer one night coming home and finds it just incredibly wasteful to leave it, and so puts it in the back of his Jeep and takes it home and cleans it with the aid of his neighbor, which is actually based on something that happened to me.
It did.
I hit a deer one night and felt the same thing. This seems horrible to just leave it. So I put it in the back. I was in my wife's car at the time. I put it in the back of her car and drove it home. We were living in sort of the orbit of New York City at the time in a neighborhood, and I figured I would just hang it from the fire escape and clean it. sort of like hanging it from the basketball hoop.
Yeah.
And that ended up with one of the great fights of my marriage.
Yeah. Really, what was that over?
She just didn't think it was right to hang a deer from a fire escape.
Yeah.
In New York and clean it. I think you know, we were already from Mississippi, so there was some neighborly concern.
You didn't want to stress the point, I guess.
That's right.
And now in Mississippi, would that be unusual to see a deer from a fire escape?
Well, the fire escape would be the unusual thing.
Yeah, because you probably don't have them. Too many of those. Okay, so that'd be. But ordinarily not. Well, that's a great scene. In fact, you know, this Dr. Elwin Cross Jr. He's like my favorite character in here. But actually, his dad is maybe my favorite character, Senior. But I think he should have his own series of books.
Senior was he has Alzheimer's, and yeah. Which made it a very difficult character to write to be in that head. And you know, one of the things I wanted to explore with that is this is a book about what you know why we want the things we want and why we keep the things, you know, why we keep some things and dispose of other things. And for him, it was his memory that he was not in control of what he chose to keep and what he chose to dispose of.
Yeah. And you know, you totally got inside his head. You nailed it. Because, I mean, I don't have Alzheimer's yet, but you do forget, you know, one or two things just with age alone. And I thought you totally nailed it. You got inside his head and all his frustration because he was a historian, and he was still working on his great treatise, right? His great work of his life, and could not recall things, or he would start ideas and he would get lost in the idea that he started. It was absolutely amazing, I thought.
Thank you. That comes from my mother has Alzheimer's, which is. Oh. A terrible disease, and it's horrible, and I love her dearly. And I think part of writing that was a way of trying to figure out what is happening in her brain when I speak to her. You know, one of the things about Alzheimer's, though, that I find people sometimes will say, you know, this book made me laugh, and this book is funny. And I think, you know, part of that is my reaction to Alzheimer's, which is horribly tragic, and yet at the same time, sometimes so absurd that your reaction can only be to cry or to laugh. My father passed away years ago, but that is not a fact that my mother is able to hold in her head very well. So to anyone who has ever had to tell a parent that the other parent is dead, you can imagine having to do that three or four times a week. So we tend not to tell her. But at one point a few years ago, she said, you know, your father is not sleeping in the bed with me. And she had a roommate at the time in assisted living, and she said, and that means, and, you know, drew the implication. Now, I then am in the very awkward spot of having to try to defend my father against suspicions of infidelity without being able to deploy the really great alibi that he has in that he's no longer alive.
Yeah.
And you know, you can either cry at the situation or you can laugh at it.
Yeah.
And it's sort of that like that blues line, you know, laughing to keep from crying.
Yeah. Or my mother's line, actually. She said, you don't know whether to laugh or cry. That was like her mantra, basically.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's my mantra, I think, you know, in looking at life and writing about it as well.
And, you know, and it's not just, you are really able to get inside a character. It's an outstanding quality for a writer, I mean, but it's really almost unique because you can be a male character, your woman character in there, Micah.
Yes.
You seem to be, Mike. You seem to totally inhabit her. And I mean, that's not easy sometimes. You know, Updike was always accused of having, like, no sense of female characters whatsoever. You know, he was often criticized for it. And he was a great writer, but he did. But you seem to be able to inhabit anybody.
That for me, is the joy of writing, is that, you know, to sort of inhabit another person. Mm-hmm. You know, my God, because I certainly don't want to inhabit me all the time. So that, you know, being able to sort of get inside these made-up people and to figure out why they see the world in the way they do, that to me, that's where the pleasure comes from.
Yeah. Well, you really are able to nail it. And that cup, Micah and Talmadge, and he's from the South, I guess. And they're sort of dumpster divers in New Jersey. Because this is all about waste not, want not. I mean, that's the title of it. All this stuff that people throw away and stuff that they try to reclaim. And so they're an interesting couple. And
they
then,
are. Micah is what I suppose would be called a freegan these days. Freak being a mashup of the word free and vegan. And it's people who, for ecological reasons, as a kind of philosophical stance, scavenge from dumpsters and trash bins for their food as a way of reclaiming the astounding waste that we as a society produce.
Yeah.
And that's how they live. That's how they live their lives off the grid, so to speak.
Yeah, but she's interesting because she's not someone who's just adopted this, you know, in graduate school or something like that. She grew up having nothing and having to forage and sort of live under very difficult circumstances. So I mean that is really she's for real in this whole thing.
She's hardcore. Talmadge, her boyfriend, is a lot less hardcore.
Yeah.
And continues to lose that core as the novel progresses. it's one of the things I wanted to explore with them is, you know, how we all have our principles and how much we're willing to sacrifice and hew to those principles. And she certainly is the epitome of someone who will not diverge from her principles.
Yeah. And then actually, Elwin Cross Jr., the son of the father with Alzheimer's. He's a doctor of linguistics. Is that right?
Linguistics, yes.
Yeah. So that's rather interesting because he's on this project. His thing about, you know, burying or wasting or whatever is actually radioactive waste. He's on this project where they're burying all this waste in Carlsbad Caverns, right?
Yeah, in New Mexico.
In New Mexico. And his why is he on that panel that's supposed to decide what to do about that site?
He's been asked to join the panel as the linguist who will tell them what language they should write the warning for this nuclear waste site that will last for 10,000 years,
right.
Which is a bit of a puzzle for him because no language obviously has lasted even a fraction of that time.
Yeah.
And so what do you put on this hazardous material that is going to be legible in 10,000 years?
Yeah.
And ultimately, you know, people come up with strange symbols and, you know, sad faces and scared faces. and it becomes, how do you communicate with deep time? And for Elwin, it sort of becomes this existential crisis. Like, really, this is our first effort to communicate to future civilizations, really, this deep in time, and it's a warning sign on our trash.
Right. And that's all basically we leave of our society or our culture, basically, is this radioactive waste.
Yeah, potentially.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty sobering idea.
And this panel or this deep sites or whatever it's called, this actually exists.
Yes, yeah. It was completely based on a real-life panel that came up with some extraordinary designs and ideas. But ultimately, I think the funding was cut at some point.
Oh, yeah, so it never got...
Yeah.
But, you know, and they decided to go in with all the major languages, there were five major languages, and Navajo.
Yes.
And, you know, I absolutely love the Navajo statements on that placard.
Yeah, as a way of nod to the land, the original owners of the land where we're burying all this waste.
I mean,
there are so many layers of irony in that.
Right.
Thank you, Navajo Nation. We're gonna put our hazardous waste here.
Right on your sacred ground.
Yes. Yes.
From the novel, it says that this place is best shunned. Sending this message was important to us. We considered ourselves to be a powerful civilization.
Yeah.
I love that. And that's in Navajo. Now, so tell us again now the thinking behind this. All these, you have these disparate... By the way, stylistically now. Everybody is doing this now, aren't they, in terms of writing? They have, they have these separate stories going on, like four or five separate stories going on. And as in the course of the novel, you try to figure out what they have in common or when they meet or when they converge. Is that, that's kind of fashionable now, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose it is.
Yeah.
And for me, I'm sure I was influenced by that. But for me, it also became I saw the ending first. It came
to me
as a kind of, you know, as a, almost like a little Vine clips get in my head. And I saw the ending.
Yeah.
And so the process for me was trying to figure out how did these people meet? And so it's sort of tracking back and
that's
and,
interesting.
And putting them in their various positions and then seeing how they ultimately will converge.
So you're not a writer who starts off with a lot of ideas going and characters going and doesn't really quite have an ending until he gets there.
No, I have to have the ending. For whatever reason, it's just how I'm wired. And I once heard a writer, I think it might have been Richard Russo, I'm not sure, who described his process being very similar as throwing a pebble into a pond.
Mm.
That's his ending. And the writing process was swimming and, you know, mucking all over the bottom trying to find that pebble.
Well, that's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
Hard to write under those conditions, though, I would think.
Underwater, it is very hard to write.
Yeah. And so the want, explain to us the thesis, though, behind the want not part of it.
Well, want not was really, you know, I think when I start a novel, there's usually some questions that I want to ask, perhaps not answer, but ask. And one of those was simply, you know, what, why do we want what we want? And then what do we leave behind?
Right.
What are we leaving behind, both personally and as a society? And what mark are we leaving on the world? And that became, and when I started thinking about that, it became, I realized that so what so many of us really are leaving is just piles of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And what is, you know, what does that say about us? And what is that, why do we accumulate that stuff? And why is that, you know, why is that what we leave behind?
Yeah. In fact, Elwin himself is basically a hoarder. He saved all the stuff from his marriage. And he has to ask his wife's permission to get rid of any of it. But at some point, he puts all his stuff in Craigslist or something, doesn't he?
Yes, yeah. He sheds.
He sheds.
Yes.
And that's a tremendously liberating feeling, actually, to be able to get rid of this stuff.
It is. I mean, anyone who's ever done that knows that feeling of just that, you know, when you just get rid of whatever, your past, your stuff, you hit reboot, you refresh.
Yeah. The ultimate being that deer meat. He still had a lot of the deer meat left in his freezer.
He did, which he's finally able to also put on Craigslist and get rid of.
The good stuff.
Yeah.
He said it was butchered by the vehicle itself, so that was good.
That's right.
Yeah. And, I really like him. So can we bring him back? Is there a possibility of bringing back Elwin?
I guess there's always a possibility. you know, You wonder what these characters. You finish a novel, and you see them sort of in your imagination, just standing there, saying, "Well, you know, we're still here. What's next?"
Yeah.
And it's hard to fire them all.
Yeah, yeah. What do? They die when you're done writing about them? That's kind of a scary thought.
No, they just sort of loiter around the house.
Oh, and by the way, speaking of the deer hanging from the thing with a motorized removal of the skin, did that happen to you as well?
I have done the motorized removal. that is a very effective way of getting a deer. It requires a four-wheeler and a golf ball and a little bit of rope.
Okay. A four-wheeler,
yeah.
A golf ball, and a little bit of rope. For those of us who have never tried this, or maybe thinking about it, may have a deer hanging from the hoop or whatever. For example, what's the golf ball for?
Well, the golf ball is just a little weight you can put inside the skin in order to tie a knot around the rope, at the other end of the rope being on the four-wheeler, and that way, if you pull it slowly, the skin will just come right off the animal. I hope no one's eating their breakfast. Yeah, the skin will just come right off the animal fairly smoothly.
Yeah. It was difficult because very nearly the novel peaked too early with the removal of that deer skin by the four-wheeler, you know?
I do believe I wrote the longest deer skinning scene in literary history.
I know.
That was my ambition.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's sort of true of your writing. I mean, you don't let anything go in your writing. People are, you know, there's nothing left to chance in your writing. I mean, when you describe someone's thoughts or someone's actions, you go through it step by step. And it's really amazing, actually, because then you get a really sense, a tremendous sense of reality of what's happening.
Thank you. That is, again, that's just inhabiting those characters and, yeah. and letting them talk to you. And again, that is such, that's the pleasure.
Yeah. So is there interest in Wantnot for any other further uses, such as film or TV?
There has been some scuttle on the film side.
Yeah.
That's something that's completely foreign to my thinking. I don't, you know, I look at it and I don't see it, but
yeah.
But I'm grateful that others do.
And why is it you sound nothing like a guy from who's in Hazelhurst, Mississippi?
that's from being in New Jersey for these years in New York. Yeah.
Really? How long did that take? Can you say anything that sounds Southern?
I think the golf ball in the four wheeler was probably.
I know, but it sounds like a guy from New Jersey saying it. Though. It's a little. Well, it's a great book. It's called Want Not, and it's let's see what label you're on there. You're on HMH. Is the label. And Jonathan, it's a pleasure talking with you. And now what's next in Deer Camp right now? What do you do next?
Well, hopefully there'll be a golf ball and a four wheeler and get on the ground.
Have you been out there yet?
I have, yes. Yeah. And I have a 10-year-old son who's on his first deer hunt. So this should be fairly momentous for us all.
Fantastic. Well, good luck out there.
Thank you so much.
Jonathan Miles, ladies and gentlemen. Want Not is the book. All right, he's out there at deer camp. How about that? How many of you have gone to deer camp? Yeah. What goes on at deer camp? You mean, do you play, just drink and play cards? Is that pretty much it? Is there any deer hunting involved? What? Messing around? You can't say, I understand. Okay, never mind. I see you're there with family. But really, what goes on at deer camp? Deer camp itself, I mean. In the deer camp. It's just drinking and playing cards, right? Pinochle, some play pinochle, some play...
Cooking.
What? Cooking? Frozen food, I bet. Nothing you shoot, I hope. Okay. All right, so there you have it.
There you have it.
There you have it.
Yeah,
how are you there?
Sir. I'm good.
You've never been deer hunting, have you?
No.
Can you take a shotgun? You got a shotgun, I know that. But can you take?
Yeah.
You can't take a shotgun deer hunting, can you?
Well, you know, one time I said you can't, but yeah, you can. You could, sure.
You can take anything now, I guess.
Well, you use the slug or whatever. You don't use the buckshot when you're...
No, you don't want to just buckshot them.
No.
Because then you got to pick all that out of the rump.
That's right. Then you're eating it and you chomp down.
Bad enough in a pheasant, but...
Or a goose.
Yeah. Okay, there. I'm glad we had this little talk. This really was engaging, wasn't it? Two guys talking about nothing they know anything about. Okay. Love that when that happens.
I don't know anything about deer camp.
Yeah. Jeff, you hunt, though, right?
I haven't, no.
No.
I've shot a shotgun.
Oh, wonderful. You shot a shotgun.
He has turkeys, wild turkeys in his backyard.
Yeah?
And deer, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
In Brookfield there?
Yes.
Are they escaped from the zoo or what?
I don't think so.
No? Oh, very amazing. Okay, don't shoot them. Just call the hotline, the zoo hotline, whenever you see something like that. Okay, and this little tune here, anything from the Sound of Music? I'm so excited about that.
Yeah, no. It's been... No, it's not.
Yeah.
I don't think I know any songs from the Sound of Music.
You don't? Could you learn one, maybe, quick?
Maybe. Not right now.
Can you finger your way through one? Maybe. I mean, it's not that
finger
hard.
Finger my way through one?
No. Yeah, I mean, it's
I
just
do
a
that
bunch.
In every tune.
Okay. All right, so the song then is...
This is from a movie called You Only Live Twice.
Oh, the Bond thing. Sounds good. John Tulane, Jeff Hammond on the bass.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Oh, thank you so much. Come on. What is that? Seats. We have a bus here. Oh, the bus isn't here. Where is the bus, by the way? You know, we had a bus get stuck in the ramp here. We had a church bus, and the pastor was driving. And they got stuck right in the ramp, and they all left, but the pastor was out there praying or something. I don't know. They couldn't get out. It was really wedged in there, too. But your bus did okay in the ramp?
It was close. Yeah.
So this bus came all the way from, where was your departure point, actually?
Rice Lake had started, stopped in Eau Claire, and then came here.
Rice Lake was the starting point? Was that for you?
No.
Yeah.
I'm from St. Paul, Minnesota.
Well, how did they get you then? Where were you?
I drove from St. Paul to Eau Claire.
Oh, you did? Oh, okay. Pleasant drive?
Yes, no snow.
No snow, okay. So I started in Rice Lake, and who was it in Rice Lake then, first on the bus? Oh, they're sitting in back there now. I can't get to you guys. That's too far to go. Is it worth the trip? I'll come over and say hello if you. Any interesting anecdotes? Do you have any anecdotes or anything about the bus ride or anything?
The guy did a good job.
Yeah? Okay. All right.
Bus rides go.
Okay. So how long then from Rice Lake to here then?
3 days?
Was a horse pulling this thing or what? 3 days on a bus pulled by horses from Rice Lake. What a world.
Terrible. Just like kissing your mother-in-law, it feels good when you stop.
Well, how long are you kissing her where it's even a question? I mean, that's really kind of a sick statement. I understand. Is your mother-in-law here by any chance?
She dead.
Okay, well, that really brings us to a closure on that point. Well, how are you guys doing? Pretty good, Dan?
Yeah, I'm pretty good.
Yeah, you didn't come on the bus, though, right?
No, I didn't. I drove.
You drove all the way from?
Johnson Street.
Yeah. Which goes the wrong way. It goes actually out of town. You take University if you want to come this way. Johnson actually just goes out of town in Madison. Yes?
I wish I had known that before I left the house. I was wondering why all the cars were, like, coming at me, and no one was going that way, too.
Oh, yeah. Because otherwise, you take Johnson, you have to go all the way around the world. And then you'll find you'll come back on University, and you're back in Madison. Well, stand up here, and people can see who I'm talking to. Come on, you're a young fellow here. And how are things going? Pretty good?
Yeah, I'm a little overworked, but I'm fine.
What are you doing these days?
I work for the university, and I work here at the catering company.
Oh, you do, yeah. Mm-hmm. What's your name?
I'm Jake.
Hey, Jake. And so what do you do at the university?
I work in a facility called the Biotron, and I manage day-to-day operations of a research greenhouse.
Research greenhouse. Are you growing pods there that take over people's bodies?
Not that I can talk about.
maybe you're actually vegetable matter. Is
no,
that possible?
No, I'm not. All mammal. I'm sorry.
That's a pretty cool job.
Yeah, I really enjoy it. And
were you trained in biotronics?
No, I was trained in biology and math. And I also worked in a greenhouse before, so I had some experience. And I actually got a job with my college degree.
I like that. It's a first. That's possibly a first. And what can you mention any of the strange things that you're growing out there, or can't you say?
There's some corn.
My God, corn?
I know.
Holy cow.
There's usually lots of potatoes. There's a plant called Arabidopsis, which is like the lab rat of the plant world.
No, really?
Yeah, and it's annoying. It grows everywhere, all the cracks in the concrete. You got to pick it out all the time. We got some rice.
Well, why are you growing it if it's an annoyance? It's an invasive annoyance species.
Well, it's annoying for me, like trying to keep the greenhouse up and keeping it clean, because it grows in all the cracks in the concrete, and I'm always pulling it out of rooms with corn. But they're growing it for, I think they're
annoyance. Just for annoyance.
Yeah, just for annoyance. It's just to make my job harder. Yeah, that's it.
Feed for something? Or?
No, it grows really fast, yeah. And they use it for genetic modification experiments, and they watch how cells grow from the seed to a full plant. I'm not sure their exact experiment, and honestly, I don't think I could say if I did.
Well, thank you. That was fascinating. And that's. But he got a job. I don't care. I'm excited for it. Thank you. Nice to meet you. We're going to play a round of the What Do You Know quiz. Fabulous chance. You've been fabulous prizes. But before we can, we have to know who can. Are you ready? You need glasses or anything? You got those? You're good without glasses?
For now?
Okay. Your name is?
Cheryl.
Cheryl will do the four disclaimers for us. Cheryl, take over.
The four disclaimers. All questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Even Sam's Club doesn't have a partridge in a pear tree. Persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. All opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
All right, let's see the hands of those of you who want to try those hands at the What Do You Know quiz. That's right. Is this on? Yes, sir. Since you raised your hand and no one else did, you could well qualify for this quiz. Come over here. Let's find out. So far, no one has not qualified for the quiz, so it's unlikely. And you are?
Townsend.
Townsend?
Yes.
How are you doing?
Good.
Where? Did you get on this bus ride here?
No, I drove.
Oh, you drove? Yeah. Did you drive to the bus and then come with the bus?
No, behind.
Oh, you're not with the bus people. Okay. Townsend, one good reason you should play this quiz.
Because nobody else raised their hand.
What a good reason. Walk this way, if you would. Ascend the stage, if you would. Townsend, have a seat right there. Right next to the emu. Don't be afraid. It's just a stuffed, fake emu.
Okay.
Townsend, so what are you doing these days?
Right now, I'm trying to start my own business.
What business would that be?
A food truck.
A food truck?
Yes.
Oh, are you? Yeah?
Yes.
What kind of food are you going to have on your truck?
Right now, hot dogs, brats.
Hot dogs and brats?
Yeah, to start with.
Brats will sell around here?
Probably not. It's a hard sell.
Pretty exotic.
Yeah, it's a hard sell.
But your brats are different too, right?
They will be.
Yeah. What's special about your brats?
Well, I can't let all of that out. It's not
started. Well, lie about something then that you can't tell me about.
They're going to be the most delicious brats in Wisconsin.
Yes. Are you going to grind your own brats?
Yeah, probably.
Really?
You know, after I go, deer hunting a couple of times.
How are venison brats? I never had a venison brat.
Haven't had them yet. But
yeah. I think we kind of dry. You got to put other stuff in there.
Yeah, got to mix them up a little bit.
Little dog meat and whatever.
Yeah, whatever you catch.
Cat meat.
Whatever you catch.
Whatever you come up with down. And is that going to be here in Madison? Is that where you're?
No, actually, it's going to be Milwaukee.
Oh, Milwaukee.
Area.
Yeah. Have you got a name for the most important thing? Is probably what you call your.
Yes, truck. I already have a name for it.
What's it called?
It's going to be called Dollar Dogs.
Dollar Dogs. And Buck Brats.
Well, just going to stick with Dollar Dogs.
Yeah, because you can't do
it. When I franchise out.
You can't do a bratwurst for a buck. That's why.
It's hard to do.
Well, sounds good. Good luck with it. You got everything ready to go?
Going
to launch in spring?
Well, I got everything, but most of the financing is the problem right now.
Okay. And you want me to invest in this?
I'm looking for investors.
All right, we'll talk later, I'm sure.
We could change the name to What Do You Know Dogs.
Okay, that's worth something right there. That's worth a buck, probably. Townsend, someone out there plays along with you. They call in and they answer a qualifying question, don't they?
They do, yep. And if they want to play along, they dial 942, or rather 1-800-942-5669.
Okay. They're already on the line there, so I don't even know why they're saying you can call in. We already have. Let's find out why Ron called in for no reason. Hey, Ron.
Hello?
Hey, Ron, how you doing?
I'm pretty good. How the heck are you?
I'm fine. So what's the question then, Ron?
What am I doing today?
All right, I'll give you the question. I'm giving you a break this time, Ron. You're supposed to wait for the question, then you call in when you have the answer. Okay.
Okay.
No one ever does it, but that's the theory. The total cost of the 12 days of Christmas. You know, every year they do this thing where they estimate the what the 12 days of Christmas would cost if you actually had to buy those things, you know, the swans and the partridges and the pear trees and all that stuff. And this is a tough one, so I'm going to give you a multiple choice on this, Ron.
Okay.
Is it $12,000, $27,000, or $41,000 for all 12 days of Christmas? Not if you repeat it. If you repeat it, it gets astronomical. You know. But just the straight last day of the 12 cost.
What were the choices?
$12,000, $27,000, $41,000 U.S.
If I get the question right, can you let the next caller do the quiz? Because I've done the quiz a couple times.
Oh, okay. Well, that's very nice of you, Ron.
I'm thinking 27.
You're right.
All right.
Nice talking to you. Bye. That means bye, bye. That Shirley, you get to play the quiz, thanks to Ron.
Oh, isn't that so nice of him?
Yeah, he's from Hubbard, Ohio. You're from Pickerington.
I am.
Yeah, aren't you?
I am from Pickering.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I thought you were unsure.
Near Columbus.
Yeah, so this is for Ron, I guess, or because of Ron. So that's pretty nice.
Okay, do I have to split with him?
Ron. Hello?
I'm ready.
Did you write that down? It took a while to write that down. Shirley, this is Townsend. He's your partner. Townsend, Shirley.
Hi.
Hi, Shirley.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
I'm very well, thank you. And you?
Good. I'm doing
wonderful.
Very well.
Let's chit chat can save for later. You know, we'll get to that. Okay. And Shirley, you want to invest in a bratwurst truck in Milwaukee? This is your guy here. So the two of you are a team right now. You work together.
Okay.
Okay.
And
okay. And then we have various categories, don't we, Bitsy?
We do. The categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, or odds and ends.
Okay. Shirley, you pick the first category. What would you like?
Current events.
Okay. For $450, what can you order at Starbucks? There is something you can get at Starbucks for $450. That's a current event because it's seasonal. It's a gift type thing you can get at Starbucks. $450. Townsend, Shirley, talk it over.
$450 at Starbucks?
Yeah.
I go there all the time. I didn't see anything for $450.
That's a big bag of coffee.
Yeah. didn't hear about this, huh?
No.
Shirley, no?
Is it a gift box for $450?
It'd be a pretty big box, I think. I guess you don't have it. It's a platinum gift card. You can get the Starbucks Platinum card. $450.
No.
Okay, no one's impressed with that anyway, but I'm sorry. That would be...
That sadly is one wrong.
Oh, sadly it's
no
right. Okay. Okay, don't worry, you'll come back to this. What's left there, Bitsy?
People, places, things you should have learned in school, science, or odds and ends.
Okay, Townsend, what would you like?
Things you should have learned at school.
School it is, okay. What is Avogadro's number these days? Avogadro's number. Avogadro's number.
I have no idea.
Avogadro.
Avogadro.
His number. He has a number, Avogadro?
One is the loneliest number.
Yeah. Not Avocado's number. A lot of people make that mistake. Avogadro's number. Shirley, Avogadro's
Shirley,
number?
I have no idea.
I definitely did not learn that in school.
Okay. It's 6.02 times 10 to the 23rd. That's, anyhow, it's the protons in a gram, according to its atomic mass number of protons. That's Avogadro's number. I had to learn that in school. I'm sorry, but that would be...
No. They didn't teach that when I was in school.
Oh, they did when I was in school, though. I'll tell you that. And that's what's wrong with school today.
That would be too wrong.
We're not learning the numbers of Avogadro.
Correct.
Okay, too wrong. Okay, yeah. Don't worry. You can't get any more wrong, but you're bound to get right sometime. Okay, so what's left there?
People, places, science, or odds and ends.
Okay, Shirley, back to you.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
People.
Okay. This is easy. Those gut instincts you have on the night before the wedding, are they spot on, just nerves, or from the aggravating rehearsal you just went through?
Nerves.
I'd have to agree. Just nerves.
Yes, just nerves. It's just nerves. Okay, that's good. So that's
one right and two wrong.
All right, very good.
We're off and running now.
Yeah.
The categories left are places, science, or odds and ends.
Places, science, odds and ends. Whose turn is your turn?
Places.
Places, okay. All right, the leading states in orders from the adult Adam and Eve site. No. I'll tell you, it's... Well, never mind. don't know where that came from. Okay, associate the drug with the correct color states. So, you know, you got the blue states and you got the red states, okay?
Could you repeat that?
Yes. Associate the drug with the correct color states. We have the red states and the blue states, and we have the following drugs, meth and cocaine. So is meth a red state drug or a blue state drug? Cocaine is associated with a red state or a blue state. This is a fact. Talking over.
Is cocaine associated with red state or blue state? I'd say cocaine is associated more with a blue state.
Blue states, then meth would be the red state?
Yes.
Shirley, you go along with that?
Yeah, I go along with that.
Okay. Yes, you're right. Okay, this is cool.
Yay!
All right. That's going to get a lot of calls from a lot of chamber of commerce across the country. But that's what they...
That would be too right and too wrong.
That's what I say. Yep. Okay. So this is it then. What's left?
Science or odds and ends.
Science, odds and ends.
I think it's Shirley.
Shirley.
Odds and ends.
Odds and ends. Okay. Is ZURF, Z-U-R-F, a Scrabble word? ZURF. Is it a legitimate Scrabble word? Z-U-R-F.
Z-U-R-F.
ZURF.
Where's my dictionary?
No, talk it over now. You play Scrabble, Townsend?
Sometimes, but...
Yeah. Shirley, ZURF. Z-U-R-F. Need an answer. Time's running out.
I'd say yeah.
I'll agree with him.
Yes, it is. It's a Turkish coffee cup holder, obviously. Holy cow! What a comeback!
What a comeback.
Townsend, you'll enjoy the best of America's Dairyland with handcrafted organic cheeses and their perfect companions, selected by the evangelical cheesemonger at Formagination on Madison's historic Capitol Square. Shirley, you can start all your days the What Do You Know way with Stephen Brew's Breakfast Blend Coffee and relax in the afternoons with smooth and tasty Costa Rican Terrasu from Madison's Stephen Brew Coffee. That's coffee done right. And each of you can play valet to the president with the Obama-rama dress-up kit, including a large magnetic Barack Obama doll, along with a fabulous array of clothing, hats, presidential seals, and more from the Unemployed Philosophers Guild. In fact, you can take your own selfie with it. And celebrate more than 25 years of radio comedy with the faux silver Jubilee anniversary quarter portraying the founding father of small talk radio. That would be Michael George Washington Fellman.
Thank you very much, Townsend. Nice job. Nice to meet you.
Thank you very much.
Shirley Hand, for a second, we'll get an address from you. Thanks for playing.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, don't go away now. Hold on.
Time is running out to get your tickets to our annual office party. It'll be a hoot here at Monona Terrace next week. There'll be plenty of nosh, nog, and polka. Tickets available online at notmuch.com. And while you're online, you can take What Do You Know with you with notmuch.com mobile, play the online quiz, listen to the archives, and purchase tickets all on the fly. Just bookmark notmuch.com on your smartphone or tablet. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International.
Right.
Michael Feldman is, of course, our producer international.
Oh, yeah.
This is PRI, Public Radio International.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Come on. A little louder, please. I can still hear myself saying.
Live from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, the What Do You Know Christmas letter, thanks for the memos and more of the What Do You Know quiz.
That's right.
Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who says, nice day for a bus ride halfway across the state, it's Michael Feldman.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, you know, each week at this time, I read actual memos sent in by actual listeners. Yeah. Maybe you didn't know that, but we do. Here's a memo here. Hi, everyone, it says. I hate it when they begin friendly, because you know it's going to be bad. Hi, everyone. Right. Someone is watering down the soap dispensers again. We went through the same situation last year. After I wrote a memo, it ceased. But recently, I found the soap in the kitchen watered down. And just moments ago, Jeff found one in the bathroom watered down also. I know that whomever, by the way, I don't think whomever is actually a word. If you're writing a memo, I wouldn't use it. I'd look it up first to make sure it is a word. Whomever is doing this has the kindest intentions in mind, but it's really not a good thing to water down the soaps in a business environment. First, we need to combat the spread of germs, so let's keep the antibacterial soap full strength. Second, adding water to the dispensers causes the soapy liquid to squirt farther. Last year, Catherine witnessed a very angry client exiting the bathroom with soap on his suit. He was not happy about the watered-down liquid all over his clothing, I'll tell you. This is not the impression we want to make. There are large, in caps, refills of soap in the bathroom cabinets and under the kitchen sink. Tell Ben or I if we are out. Also, we usually keep a backup or two on the top shelf of the slop sink closet. We totally appreciate all of who are conscious of the studio budget. There here are a few suggestions of things you can do to help keep costs down. Be mindful of how much copy paper you use. Turn off your monitors and lights and when you leave for the day or for lunch, it saves electricity. Don't covet more supplies than you need. We order based on what is missing from our inventory, so if you have two boxes of pencils hidden in one of your drawers, we're buying two boxes of pencils to replace that. Think about it, people. Keep windows closed when the heat or the AC is on, and if you're using a space heater, please turn it off when you leave for lunch. Thanks, everyone. There you have it. Thank you for that memo, actual memo. Sent in by an actual listener who's concerned about, probably the head of the office, I guess, in this case, about watered-down soap in the dispenser. Some of you have that problem in your workspace, watered-down soap dispensers. Applaud if you do. Just our guy here in the bio lab bed thing. Really, they water them down there?
Yeah, it makes the soap last a lot longer. It doesn't need to be thick, syrupy liquid.
It just doesn't do anything when you wash your hands with it if it's watered down too much. Plus, you're working with plants, all you want to be washing your hands, so don't they have lava or something? Flava?
I don't know what kind of soap it is. Gojo?
Oh, Gojo, that's the cheap stuff you can water down. Okay, so where can all the memos or the letters, where can they go?
They can go to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org with the subject line memos, or people can go to notmuch.com and post it there.
On the site there. And if they're writing something by hand?
Yes.
I know this. You've never done this, but used to be you'd write something and
with
put
a stamp,
it,
I heard, yeah.
And put a stamp on
yeah.
it.
Yeah. The address is 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Care of What Do You Know? Thanks for the memos.
Yeah. And if you want to follow, you can follow me on the Twitters at MyFeldman, by the way, if you're into the Twitter thing, mm-hmm. which we all do now instead of actually trying to communicate. We tweet. You can say anything when you tweet because it's Twitter. You know, all kinds of stuff is out there, so it doesn't really matter. Well, it's time once again for our annual Christmas letter. We're trying this for the first time, but I say once again because we always try things for the first time. Again and again. Anyway, time for the annual Christmas letter. Now, this came about because I'm not getting them like I used to. Are people still doing Christmas letters where they tell you everything that happened to them in the past 12 months? Yes? No? This is radio. We cannot hear your head shaking one way or the other. How many of you have written a Christmas letter or are writing one? No, we need you to hear this. Make with a noise. Like this. Okay. How many of you have received one? Have you received a Christmas letter? Okay, so they're going, good. Otherwise, this whole thing is fruitless and pointless. But did you know that there are Hanukkah letters, too? Maybe you didn't know that my people also write the same thing. It's the same everything you do for the year, and you make everyone read it because you think it must be really important if you're doing it. So, and you send it out, but it's nice. You stay in touch. And this is actually our Hanukkah letter. And this year was hard because Hanukkah was on Thanksgiving, so we had to write over dinner to get this out in time. And here's the Feldman Hanukkah letter. Oi, what a year. If it wasn't one thing, it was another. The girls, knock on wood, are doing great. Ellie graduated mid-year. She couldn't wait until spring, so it's so hard to stall for another semester. From the UW with honors, if I might add, although in something called human ecology. I get human and I get ecology. What I don't get is human ecology. What, a landscape littered with humans? From this you can make a living? Human ecologist wanted, I have yet to see in the help wanted. But she's very bright, not to brag, and very hardworking, and she'll find something even if it doesn't involve humans or landscapes. With her personality and brains and my money, she can't miss. Nora, the youngest, is finishing up her second year already, can you believe? Also at the UW, this one as well on the honor roll, not to brag, in communication arts, which would seem to cover just about everything, including, I shouldn't wonder, human ecology, or at least that part of it which is communicated. She said, or rather texted, for that is how we personally communicate, she is getting her digital art certificate as well, which has got to be a good thing in the digital age in which we live. Also with the writing in the film, this one, she wrote a screenplay loosely based on our family in which the father was an endearing and humorous character and the mother was referred to with the B word. And I don't mean B'nai B'rith. What can I say? You can't stop the creative ones from depicting life as they see it. Speaking of the better half, the highlight of my wife's year, I would say, was jury duty. Perfect for one with the constant judgments all the time. If there was such a thing as judge and jury duty, they could call her for that full time. At her work now in the physical therapy department, they have to wear tees with their names on the pockets. And she says she feels more like a crew chief than a healthcare professional. The upside is that she no longer faces the constant sartorial challenges with only the black slacks to worry about. Footwear, I think they still let her wear the Crocs. As for me, when this doesn't hurt, that does, and vice versa. Still waiting for one thing to get better, and you know me, always the optimist. I would think it could be 2014 or 15. Really wondering what that will be. Not the eyes, I don't think. Still hear my mother's voice after all these years asking, are you still working? And yes, Mom, I am. And still getting the feeling she doesn't believe me. True, I had a spotty work history for many years, and Mom always had trouble believing in that radio was a real job, and I'm starting to see what she meant. I probably should have had something to fall back on, you know, eggs and baskets, like Mom used to say, but at this point, I imagine I'll just fall back on my tuchus, and that will be that. Well, looking back, it actually has been a much better year than I remember it being while in progress, and I'm very grateful for that. And for the love and friendship of friends and family, many baruchas and gesunds to you all. For the coming year, from all of us, we remain the Feldmans. So that's my Hanukkah letter for this year. And I didn't get any feedback on it, though. No one said, love dear Hanukkah letter. I don't know. So that was pretty good. So here's what I thought we'd do here now is do a mass group Christmas letter. To encourage this thing, because from all the people out there or here who so I thought what we could do is this. If your Christmas letter at hand now, I would grab your Christmas letter at hand now. Everyone gets to do one line or one sentence from their Christmas letter, and then we're going to assemble them all together. Theoretically, this is technologically impossible, I'm told by our engineering staff here. Then we're going to assemble them all together, and we'll have one mass, what do you know, Christmas letter covering, you know, a host of people. So grab your Christmas letters right now. Be prepared to read one line from that. Then we're going to put them out. Did I explain that all right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes, Christmas letter. I mean, you get any line you want from the letter, but just one line, and we're going to assemble them.
Feel free to make it up.
Yeah. And so, you know, maybe we get someone here. Can I have your microphone back again for just a second? We'll get someone here to start the letter, okay?
With a salutation.
And with a greeting. Thank you, John. You didn't have to do that. It's not in his job description, really. Okay, so we need someone now to start the Christmas letter, okay? You understand the premise here? Okay, anyone want to start it off for us? You know, it could be just dear friends and family. Townsend, you're the only guy who volunteers for anything here. Okay, so you'll start with the salutation or the opening line? Okay, so here's Townsend's got the opening line. Then we'll go to the phones. Grab your Christmas letters and call in. You know the number. What's that number again?
The number is 1-800-942-5669.
All right. Now, starting us off on our mass Christmas letter, what a premise. Go ahead.
greetings and salutations and happy holidays once again, everyone, from the Hunt and Matthews family. Things are going well. How are they going with you?
Okay, we got to start. We got to start. Let's go to those phones right now for the next line in our mass Christmas letter. This is a good idea. grab your Christmas letters and you got those lines on. Anyone? Okay, we got Wheeling, West Virginia here. Okay, let's go there right now for the next line in our letter. Hey, Richard?
Yes.
Are you there?
Still here.
Have you got your Christmas letter?
Yes. Here's my sentence.
Okay.
Richard safely backed the train away from the attacking zebra.
Good one.
You got
yes,
that one?
It really happened.
Good one.
I drive a train at a zoo.
Okay.
And one day the male zebra was out. I pulled into the pen. The zebra attacked the train, but I was able to safely back out.
Okay. Did we get that?
Really happened.
You didn't get it? Okay, do it again. Do the line again.
Okay. Richard safely backed the train out of the pen from the attacking zebra.
Thanks, Richard. Perfect.
Try to top it. I don't know.
I don't know. No, it's good. It's not topping here. This is just sharing. It's sharing.
Appreciate it.
All right,
Thank
thanks.
You.
Okay, bye. Now we go. Whoa. Whoa. Gosh. Now we. Help. Whoa. Oh. What? What? Oh. What? What is that on there? Whoa. Whoa. Okay. Hello? Who's it? What? James?
Oh, no.
James, are you there? Hi. James? Hi, who's this? Anyone there?
I'm here.
Who's this?
I'm Walt.
Walt. Hi, Walt. Where are you, Walt?
Wheeling, West Virginia.
You're in Wheeling, West Virginia?
Yeah, like Richard.
Oh, okay. That's cool. Are you ready? Do you have your Christmas letter right there?
I do.
Okay. Are we ready for him?
I got you.
Okay.
You ready?
Do your line right here.
Okay. Sue Ball. And she has read 6 Dickens novels while on the job. Sweet.
We may need that one.
We may
one
have to try
on.
That again,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, Walt, do you want to try it again? Give me the whole line right now.
Okay, Sue Beth got a full-time job this year, $18,000 a year, and she has read 6 Dickens novels while on the job. Sweet.
Perfect. Thanks, Walt.
Thank you.
Okay, we're getting a letter here. Do you see what's happening? Do you see what's happening? This is Breakthrough Radio, as I like to call it.
It is.
It's a breakthrough, another breakthrough. Okay. So now we're going to, I don't know why these lights are lighting up in weird ways here today. This
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
Who's this?
This is Chris from Heron, Illinois.
Oh, Chris from Heron, Illinois. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Did you write
How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm, you know. Chris, did you write a Christmas letter this year?
Yes.
Okay, do you have it right there?
I have one sentence from it, sure.
Okay, you got your sentence picked out?
Yes.
You ready to go? Okay. Let her rip.
She likes every food fed to her and is the most patient child I have encountered.
There you go. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
It rang true. It was very nice. All right, now Tom's in Galleon, Ohio?
Yes. Yes.
Tom, you still write the Christmas letter, right?
Yes.
Every
Christmas
year?
Christmas letter.
Yeah. Is that your job?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. I enjoy it. It's a labor of love.
Labor of love. Okay. You got one sentence in there from your letter. We're going to add it to our mass Christmas letter.
Oh, that'll be so much fun.
Okay. Go right ahead.
Cousin George finally got started in his endeavor to write poetry with roses are reddish, violets are bluish. If it weren't for Christmas, we'd all be Jewish.
We're going to let that pass, Tom. But thank you for that.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. All right. When they get the bluish is when I start to worry. I'll tell you the truth. Emporia, Kansas. Hey, Fran.
Hi.
How are you?
Just fine, and you?
Good. Is it kind of cold out there in Emporia?
It is.
Yeah.
The wind's blowing, and we don't have anything falling, but it's cold.
Yeah, okay. Fran, you got the Christmas letter there?
No, but I'm thinking about making one.
Oh, you are? Can you do a line for us in your projected letter?
Sure.
Okay. Here we go.
Scotty had his final joint replaced this year.
Good one.
He did.
Yeah.
He had two knees and two hips.
Yeah. Good one. That's a good one. Thanks, Fran. And more power
to
him.
I love the show.
Thank you. Our best to him, by the way, and all those new joints. I was worried there as well, but, you know, that worked out really good. And for him, too, I hope. Deborah's online from a brown deer here in Wisconsin. Eh? Our brown deer?
Yes.
Yeah. Good.
That's me. My name's Deborah. I'm not unfortunate to live here.
You're unfortunate to live here?
Well, you heard the story. You told the story about the man. The 88-year-old man from Thienesville?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, if you can't sneeze in brown deer without the police taking notice. So
yeah.
Let that be a caution to everybody.
Okay.
Okay, here's my line.
Don't sneeze anywhere around brown deer. Okay.
Okay, do you want my line?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay, it's actually the last line of, well, part of a poem. Yeah. Okay, so it's, we're born, we grow, and as we roam, our circle always brings us back home.
Very nice, Deborah.
Thank you.
Thank you for that.
Well, have a great Christmas.
Yeah, you too.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. All right. Ron's on I-43 now, and he's got his letter, and he's driving with it in his hand right now on I-43. Hey, Ron.
Well, actually, I have it committed to memory.
Okay. Here goes Ron.
And
here, on count of three. One, two, three.
All right. So it's Kathy's mom's keeping a low profile, keeping a supply with chocolate chip cookies, hoping we don't notice what goes on at her house. Church at 4:30. Yep, we know when the senior specials start.
Okay, Ron. Good luck with that. Good luck with the repercussions on that one. All right, bye now.
Bye-bye.
Chips is in Burlington, North Carolina. Hey, Chips.
Hey, Michael.
How's it going?
It's all right. How are you?
Good, good. Did you have that ice storm there that get to you guys?
No, just rain today.
Just rain. Okay, that's good. All right, you got your letter there?
Yeah, here we go.
Okay, one line.
And what do you know? In November, I was on a national radio show with Michael Feldman.
That was kind of, I don't know. We'll take it, though. Not that we're desperate. Thanks, Jeff.
And it was a lot of fun, too.
Yeah, well, thanks. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Okay, bye. Vinny's on the line from Humboldt, Tennessee. Hey, Vinny.
Good morning, Mike. How are you doing?
Good. Do you take a lot of time with your Christmas letter? Put some thought into it?
Actually, yeah. We really got some really good news, too, from my wife's, Mary's brother, mm-hmm. Albert. And I look forward to sharing with everybody when you're ready.
Okay. When you're ready, just go right ahead.
Also, we wanted to share with everybody, this year, Mary's brother, Albert, got a job as a sign language interpreter in South Africa, and we're so proud of him.
Nice. Nice, Vinny. Thanks for that.
Okay, we are so proud, Michael. I get emotional about it. So
I can tell. Whatever that emotion is, I know you got it. Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
John's in La Crosse.
Good morning.
We got everyone else from La Crosse is here, I guess, over in that area. Some people from La Crosse. Anyone from La Crosse here? No, no one came from La Crosse. Never mind.
Yeah, it's snowing.
Oh, it's snowing out there? Is it snowing heavily or?
No, just a nice fluffy white snow.
Yeah, that's snow, all right.
Yep. Yep.
So, John, you got your letter at hand?
Well, it may not be from a letter, but I might put it in a letter.
Okay. Try and make it sound like it's one line from your Christmas letter, and you go now.
And Michael seems to be recovering from his visit with the ghost of Hanukkah past.
Okay. That was sincere. All right, thanks, though.
Thank you.
Thanks, John. Okay. I'm not saying we have to use all these. You know, I'm A lot of them we will. Alice is in Memphis, aren't you?
Yeah, and I'm your Mishbacha. My
Mishbacha.
Maiden name was Feldman. Yeah, she came from Kiev.
Oh, yeah, yeah, same as so did we.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anywho,
yeah. Okay.
This should really be an addendum to your Hanukkah letter.
Okay.
I made it to Israel to visit my family.
Wait. Hold on.
Okay.
Are we ready for her, Alice?
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah. All right, here comes Alice. Go.
Okay, I made it to Israel and back to visit my family, and my granddaughter didn't tell me sheket this time, if you know what that means.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Thanks, Alice.
Bye-bye.
That adds a little ethnic flair to the letter. We needed that.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Other than the bluish reference earlier. Joan's in Hilton Head, South Carolina. Hey, Joan.
Kristen has started a wonderful new family tradition at Thanksgiving. Thank you, Kristen.
Do you get that? She jumped into it. No? Okay. Take it again, Joan.
Kristen has started a wonderful new tradition for Thanksgiving. Thank you, Kristen.
Enigmatic, but I like that in a letter. Thanks, Joan.
You're welcome.
Okay. Now we're going to go to Rolla, Missouri. Hey, Fran.
Yep. Hey. Esther worked the first half of the year in Budapest, Hungary, programming the controls on the new Harry Potter attraction, which she is now installing at Universal Studios in Orlando.
Okay. We got that, didn't we? Yeah. Perfect.
And that's true. That's directly from my letter.
That's perfect. Thank you. That's what I'm talking about. Right from the letter. Okay, thanks, Frank.
All right.
We got two more here. Make it a nice letter, round it out. Mary's in Stevens Point. Hey, Mary.
Hi, good morning.
Morning, how are you?
This is right up my alley.
Okay.
I just got through writing my letter, and I'm stuffing the envelopes this morning.
Excellent. Give us your best line from the letter.
All right. I have a daughter who lives in Minneapolis, and this is the line.
Okay.
She was mugged a few weeks ago, which wasn't one bit funny, but she said she'd like to have seen the guy's face when he discovered all he got in her bag was a water bottle and a stuffed animal.
Very good. I'm very sorry to hear it, and I'm very glad that's all there was.
Always a happy ending.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Mary.
You're welcome. Bye.
Okay. One more from Lawrence, Kansas. Bev's out there. Hey, Bev.
Hi.
What's up?
Oh, just good. A little Christmas letter.
Christmas letter? Did you mail yours out already? Got them out, I suppose.
I didn't mail it out. I got it written down, though.
Okay, good. You want to give us one line from there that you really want to share?
Okay. Our little chihuahua, Lucy, has finally graduated from a hunting sock to a real dog turtleneck, extra small.
Do we get that?
Yeah.
We got it. Thanks, Bev. There we have it. Thank you. You're going to close it out with that one there, I think. Okay. Now, through the magic of Tom Blaine, our engineer, at one time, anyhow, he was. Is he back there? No. And who did this? Anybody record this? That was the idea, to record these, you know. Did I mention that we record these and then we put them all together? Yeah, we have that, and is it all in one file now? And they'll go bang, 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 and that'll be our letter. Okay, what does this mean? Is that an official radio sign? Are you a signer in South Africa? What is that? What does that mean? Okay, can you roll it?
We have to try that again.
I think. Yeah, Walt, do you want to try it again? Give me the whole line right now.
Okay. Subeth got a full-time job this year, $18,000 a year, and she has read 6 Dickens novels.
Did you write a Christmas letter this year?
Yes.
Okay, do you have it right there?
I have one sentence from it, sure.
Okay, you got your sentence picked out?
Yes.
You ready to go? Okay, let her rip.
She likes every food fed to her.
Love.
Labor of love. Okay, you got one sentence in there from your letter. We're going to add it to our mass Christmas letter.
Oh, that'll be so much fun.
Okay, go right ahead.
Cousin George finally got started in his endeavor to write poetry with Roses are reddish.
Here's the story. You told the story.
Wait. Hold on.
Okay.
Are we ready for it, Alice?
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah. All right, here comes Alice. Go.
Okay, I made it to Israel and back to visit my family, and my granddaughter didn't...
Hey, Mary.
Hi, good morning.
Morning, how are you?
This is right up my alley. I just got through writing my letter, and I'm stuffing the envelopes this morning.
Excellent. Give us your best line from the letter.
All right, I have a daughter who lives in Minneapolis, and this is the line.
Okay.
She was mugged a few weeks ago, which wasn't one bit funny, but she said she'd like...
Christmas letter? Did you mail yours out already? Got them out, I suppose.
I didn't mail it out. I got it written down, though.
Okay, good. You want to give us one line from there that you really want to share?
Okay. Our little chihuahua, Lucy, has finally graduated from a hunting sock to a real dog turtleneck.
Aww. We may need that one.
We may
one
have to try on. That again, I think.
Yeah, Walt. Well, there you have it. Hallucination strikes again. Hallucination rears its ugly head on the What Do You Know show. Okay, was Tom back there for this? Okay.
It's a good idea on paper. It looked pretty good. At the production meeting, it seemed like it was going to just go gangbusters.
Through the roof, I think, was the term that was used.
It's the wrong roof.
Originally, okay. All right, well, you got the idea. But thank you all for sharing your letter. It was nice to hear their lines from their letters. I thought that was sweet. It's too bad we messed up on our end a little bit here. Okay. So, what do you got here along these lines? Nothing, I hope.
Nothing. After that, I don't.
Yeah. John, what can we recover with?
This is an old Harry Warren tune called There Will Never Be Another You.
Oh, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's Michael Felton.
Oh, say, that reminds me. I want to remind you, our holiday party next week, right here. So take a bus again next week, halfway across the state in terrible weather. Be here, because right here in Monona Terrace, holiday party. And this year, you don't have to bring a dish to pass. You don't, because we're going to cater it because
you can't.
We have to. They passed a law saying you couldn't bring dishes to pass because someone gets poisoned. Someone got poisoned somewhere. Not here, but somewhere. So it's all be catered here with actual food from Monona Terrace here. So that's next Saturday, 21st. And we'll even have the eggnog. Very expensive, but I paid for it. Okay?
Thank you.
Better come. You better drink it. You better be here next Saturday. Big
holiday
party.
Plus, there'll be an accordion.
Huh?
There'll be an accordion. There'll be polka. There'll be all sorts of stuff happening.
Yes. Steve Meisner again and the boys. Be here. We'll be polka. There'll be polka back in there. There'll be a polka. You can polka down that way. And then we'll be having drinks and stuff. And there'll be a radio show, but don't pay any attention to it. Very good thing to do in this case. Okay, here now. And then we got people here. And I have your cards and stuff here, but I can't read them again. I see you're Tiffany Coggins.
Yes, I am.
Are you a volunteer then?
No, actually, I work for WPR.
You do? It says here that, how come you're wearing a name tag, though?
Because I'm here with the bus.
Oh, you're here with the bus?
Yeah.
Did you come on the bus, or did you meet the bus?
I came on the bus.
You did?
Oh, you're the leader of it.
I'm one of the leaders, yes.
where are you headquartered, in Rice Lake?
Eau Claire.
Oh, in Eau Claire. Okay, all right. So Rice Lake is just like an outreach?
Yes, from the outreach program we had.
Do we have a large listenership in Rice Lake?
Well, of course we do.
They're both here?
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, thank you for doing that.
You're welcome. It was
very nice to see you here. We got, how are you? Pretty good there? You get a little cough there?
Great. Right. No, that wasn't intentional.
Oh, okay. All right. Are you taking something for it?
Not right now. No. Okay.
You know the hat on the bedpost cure?
No.
Okay. You get a bottle of Jack Daniels. You lay in your, first you take a hat and you put it on your bedpost and a bottle, and you sit in bed there. Sit up, because you don't want to drink lying down. And you drink until you see two hats on the bedpost.
Which brings me to the question I wanted to put on your card.
Go right ahead.
Do you know Tommy Two Coats? No. Well, he's right here. It's Tiffany's husband.
And it takes two coats, does it, really?
It's based on the weather. So if it's certain degrees, it's going to be two coats.
Yeah.
So like yesterday was two coats weather. So he was calling me Tommy Two Coats for that.
Okay. Well, do you prime or don't you? Do you count that as one of the coats?
Well, no. I might wear a sweater. That would be the prime. Then you wear a coat, and it's like, you know, it gets to be like it was last night.
Oh, two coats. You mean clothing coats. I thought we were talking painting here.
It gets a little colder. It's three coats.
Okay.
And then you don't go off.
Today you're wearing two coats?
No, I'm wearing one coat today. Today's a one-coat day.
Okay, well, thanks for bringing that up. And things are going anyhow down the drain here. But that was, didn't, what?
What was the cure for the cough again?
Yeah, you take a, never mind. You take a hat, you put it on a bedpost, take a bottle of Jack Daniels, and drink it until you see two hats on the bed. Have you heard of that cure before, sir?
I have not heard that before.
Are you thinking of trying it now, having heard that on public radio?
Well, I don't think so. It sounds good for somebody else, but not for me.
No. Okay. And who are you, if I might add?
I am Renee from Portland, Oregon.
Oh, you are? What brings you to our parts?
We're visiting relatives.
Really?
Mm-hmm. We're visiting my wife's mother in Madison.
Oh, okay. How's that going so far?
It's going very well, and especially to come and hear your show live, which we normally enjoy on the radio in Portland.
Oh, it's, I didn't know we were still on in Portland. I thought they...
You're still on.
Really? Hanging by a thread, though. That's what? Is that true?
I think it's been a little while since you've been on in Portland.
Okay.
I don't know why they would have taken.
Don't tell him, because he'll be very heartbroken. Right. He's still listening to something there, and he thinks it's us. And I think the shock of it could be harmful.
Well, it's on. Used to be on Saturday, and we're always busy on Saturday selling produce at the farmer's market.
Oh, yeah. But you're still busy with that, aren't you?
We're down to every other week throughout the winter now.
I'm saying it's, so you're not missing anything for my show not being there.
Oh.
But and yet you are. And so what produce do you have?
We sell more than 300 varieties of organic vegetables and herbs.
No kidding. What? That's all the applause I get? And quickly, can you name all 300 varieties?
No, I can't, but I do want to say that I love the visit to the Dane County Farmer's Market next door here.
Yes, the Farmer's Market is going on here, so if you're over there, come over here as well and bring your Christmas letter with you. That's okay. And so that's a lot of varieties.
It certainly is. We can't help ourselves. We always want to try something new.
Is there a brand new exotic variety you just added recently?
We've been breeding some of our own peppers. We have one we call Hot Violet, and one of the chefs we sell to said it was a three-beer pepper all by itself.
Three-beer pepper, wow, and organic. Okay. Well, and your name is?
My name's Ann.
Ann and Renee, right?
Yes.
Nice to meet you. Thanks for coming. What do we have for them? They made this long trip all the way from Portland just to be here.
Well, if they're driving back, they could listen to the CD Movin' On by California Country's popular singer-songwriter Eileen Carey. Nobody's excited
about
that.
No, that's not too hot. Can we give them about a bottle of wine or something?
Okay, how about delightful wines from the award-winning Wollersheim Winery?
Yeah, that's even better. We don't want to listen to it. Let's see, Therapeutic Harpist. Terry Tach? No, it's not. It's not Tachini, it's Tach. Tachini. No. You don't get to say just because it's your name. Can I get you to come down here? Let's find out what you do as a therapeutic Tachini. Tash, what?
Tashini.
Oh, no, that's a different person entirely. I know a Tashini, and they're actually a Tashini.
They're a Tashini?
I know a Tashini.
First name Tashini.
Very common.
Not real common.
You're Terry Tashini.
Terry.
Tashini?
Tashini.
Tashini name, what kind of name is it? Where does that go back to?
It's actually a French derivative, and my family came from Luxembourg.
From Luxembourg. Oh, interesting. But you are a therapeutic harpist.
Yes, I am.
Did you know that?
Well, I didn't know that.
You can't pronounce your name. Would you know what you do for a living? You play the harp?
Well,
it's therapeutic.
I don't do it for a living. I volunteer.
Oh, you do? Mm-hmm. So where do you go to volunteer?
I volunteer at a hospital in St. Paul and at a local zoo.
Are the people in the hospital at all alarmed when a harp is suddenly heard in their in their room after they've been... I think it's a sweet idea on one hand.
Most people are very touched by it and find comfort and...
We haven't lost anyone that way. We just said, oh, my God, my time. Because the harpist is there.
Yeah, no, we haven't lost anyone. Well, I'm sure someone has passed, but not recently.
Not as a result of.
No.
Okay. What is your question?
Where's the best bathroom in Madison?
Why? First of all, why?
My husband wanted me to ask that question.
Where is he?
Right there.
Tashini.
Oh,
he's a Dickinson.
Yes.
No. Dickensian. People don't know anything about their names. Best bathroom? You want the best bathroom?
Sure.
I'll tell you where you go. Huh? Oh, stand here. Stand up. Yeah. What? Yeah, two left. No, not here. State Capitol.
State Capitol's got a fine bathroom.
Marble wall, floor to ceiling, marble urinals.
That's wonderful. You just sort of pee anywhere that way.
Things are going from bad to worse, aren't they? Can't say anything to this Tashini guy. He's Dickensian, I know that, but... that's the place to go, though. It's all marble.
I'll make a point of it.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'm glad we had this discussion. Very nice meeting you.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you for what you do, by the way. That's a beautiful idea. Did you hear about the golfer who played on Christmas and got a birdie? Okay, I guess we can find out. This is bound to be good. Excuse me. Kevin Kane, Chippewa Falls. How are things in the falls there?
Just very good, thank you.
Have you actually seen the falls in Chippewa Falls?
No, it's been flooded over. There is no falls anymore.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. No? I haven't seen it.
When was there? Do you ever remember there being a falls?
Well before my time.
I don't think there ever was. I think they had to call it something.
No, there was a falls at one time before they put in Lake Wissota.
I don't think so.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you're taking that on faith, and I appreciate it,
Sure. Yeah. No, the falls was there. I know that.
How do you know that, though? You said it was before your time.
Well, actually, I've seen pictures of it.
Well, I've seen pictures of spacemen and green men and alien things.
Well, you got me.
Because I have been to Cedar Rapids, for example, and there's no rapids.
There isn't?
No. Cedar Falls, there's no falls. So Chippewa Falls, you go there and say, well, okay, I'd like to see the falls. That'd be part important part of the trip, you know.
Sure.
There's no falls.
Oh, I believe there is, but...
All right. Let's agree to disagree.
Okay, sounds like a plan.
All right. No, I'm sorry. You're going to tell... Is this a joke, I hope?
Well, the question was it was a statement, and the answer was it was a partridge on a par three.
You get that one down? We're going to put that in there. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Kevin Kane, ladies and gentlemen. We have a cheesemaker here, a retired cheesemaker. I thought it was like the mafia. Can you really retire from making cheese? If you're still making cheese, I bet, aren't you?
Oh, sometimes in the kitchen.
Yeah. Can you make a decent cheese just in the kitchen?
Yes, you can. Here's my...
Like a mozzarella, you could make
here's
that.
Here's my cheesemaker's license.
All right, let's see it. Expires 1983. December 31st, 1983. Did you notice that?
Yeah. So this one does say that. You're right, Jim. must have another one.
You got a $50 bill you can hand me with the expired license?
No. I must have another one in here someplace.
83, your license expired. How often do you get those renewed?
Well, I have it renewed, yeah. I must not have it in here, though.
Okay, then where's the money? You got it. It's either $50 or a current license.
I've got $50. I'm not going to give it to you.
All right, give it to him, and he can give it to you. If you work it that way, then there's no bribery involved.
I'm not involved.
Yeah. Just drop it on the floor, and I'll pick it up.
You got me going.
Okay. Wait a second. Did you make it professionally?
Yes. My dad immigrated from Switzerland and started the Tuscobia Cheese Factory 5 miles north of Rice Lake on Highway 53.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. And
about the wheels and the vats in the basement?
Swiss cheese wheels. My relatives are the Raleighs down in Nuglaris and Monroe and Grass.
Glaris.
No, yeah, yes. And they still make cheese down there, the Raleighs.
Yeah. When I actually graduated college and moved out in the country, and there was a Swiss cheese factory right nearby.
A lot of times in every section of land, there was a cheese factory.
Yeah. We still had some of the round wooden things.
Yes.
Yeah. Our basement there.
Oh my goodness.
The place we were in actually was a former Swiss cheese factory.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Very cool. Yeah.
Well, we could talk forever tonight because you're a fascinating guy. Did I give you your license back in case they pull you over on the way home on a cheese violation? We're gonna play the quiz then, are we?
Yep, we are.
Of course we are.
It's time.
So, all right. Obviously, you've been thinking about this. She's been thinking about this because she put her hand right up. Didn't have to say anything. Come on over here. I'm assuming you may qualify. You know, but the rules are changing all the time. And a lot of it is just, you know, statutes, state statutes. You know, like you can't bring a dish to pass anymore, all those laws. So things are changing all the time. What do you think about it? You can't bring a dish to pass anymore.
What's wrong with the world?
That's exactly.
Nothing.
Oh,
better.
I'm sorry.
Nothing better than a good potluck.
Than a good potluck. And why are you patting me when you say that? Your name is?
Ellen Olson.
Ellen, are you from around here?
Lodi.
Lodi, that's around here. Okay, and then Ellen, one good reason you should play this quiz. Bad reason, any kind of reason.
It just sounds like fun.
Sounds like fun, okay, come on, Ellen. Ellen, have a seat there if you would. I think that water is still good. It looks pretty high. Okay. If not, I got another water here if you need it. But... I should put a little something in that water is what I'm thinking. I think there's something in my water is what I'm thinking. So, Ellen, so what are you doing out there in Lodi these days?
Live in Lodi, work yep. in Madison. I'm a nurse at the UW Hospital.
Oh, you are? Okay. Mm-hmm. What sort of nurse are you?
Orthopedics. In the clinic setting.
Yeah, well, how cool, how cool. Mm-hmm. And what do you like to do for fun? What's your fun thing to do, Ellen? Yeah.
Get together with my family.
Yeah. No, something fun, though. Not darts. And play darts in the tavern.
Get out in the woods. Hike.
You hike in the woods?
In the woods.
Okay.
We're lucky to live right near the Ice Age Trail.
Oh, you do?
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Glaciers ever come down then? Or? I always think they're going to come back, so I never go on the trail, do you think? Ice Age Trail. Go far enough, you're going to run into a glacier.
Yeah.
And it could be another one of those periods where they're actually coming instead of receding. You know. That's just me. Yeah. I'm just thinking out loud here. Yeah. Do you write a Christmas letter?
Oh, gosh. That's a yearly ongoing discussion at our home.
Yeah. I mean, who writes it?
And I usually win out in that it doesn't happen.
It doesn't. Okay, that's a good one. Someone out there plays along with you. You know how this quiz works? General knowledge sort of quiz.
Yes.
And you work with a partner who calls in. And how does that work there, Bitsy?
They dial 1-800-942-5669, mm-hmm. and you ask them a qualifying question.
I do?
Yep, from that little gray box there.
Oh, I do.
Yeah.
Okay, we want to know who's the most overpaid actor of 2003, currently the most overpaid actor in Hollywood. based on the fact that what they're paid does not nearly make that much in the movie, for the movie itself, okay? So we're talking about the most, number one, most overpaid actor of 2013, current. Now let's go to the phones right now. Bob's in Pensacola. Hey, Bob.
Hey.
I'd like to be down by you, I'm thinking, in Pensacola. It sounds good.
That's not too bad. It's a little rainy today.
It's rainy today?
Yeah. Raining just a little bit.
Yeah. If it wasn't raining, what would you be doing down there?
Working.
Working. That's always fun to do anywhere you are, I guess. Bob, the most overpaid the most overpaid actor currently in movies. You know who that is?
It's a guy, right?
It's a guy. I'll tell you, he's in comedies. How does that go? Well, that narrows it down. They're supposed to be comedies.
I would say Jim Carrey.
Oh, no. His movies make money, I think, still. Sorry, Bob.
Michael Feldman, maybe.
Yeah, no, that would be a problem. Sorry. Chris is on the line from Ashland, Kentucky. Chris, most overpaid actor.
Nicolas Cage.
He's right up there. He's on the list, but he's not at the top. Okay. Sorry, Chris. Thank you.
Thanks.
In Delafield, Wisconsin, Don, most overpaid actor is in comedies.
You said comedy. I was going to say George Clooney, but he's not in comedy. Maybe he is.
You want to go with that?
I'll go with that.
Okay. You're wrong. Paul's on the line from Hilton Head, South Carolina. Hey, Paul.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Most overpaid actor?
Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler, number one. All right.
Also not terribly funny.
You could argue that's been argued, I think.
Yeah.
So, Paul, what do you do there in Hilton Head?
I'm retired.
You are? Well, it's a nice place to be if you're retired, huh? You play golf, I presume?
No, I quit. I hated it.
So you quit it, and you moved to Hilton Head, South Carolina.
Right.
So what do you do there, then?
Read.
You read? You could read anywhere, though. Hilton Head's kind of expensive, isn't it, just to be reading?
No, Hilton Head's not expensive at all. It's very reasonable.
It is?
Yeah.
Well, how's the light for reading? Pretty good. I suppose you have good light and everything. What are you reading currently, Paul?
I'm reading a book by Jeffrey Deaver called The October List.
Oh, is it good?
Yeah, it's in reverse.
It's in reverse?
Yeah, the book starts with the end and goes back to the beginning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. Is that a thriller kind of thing or intrigue?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Paul, this is Ellen. She's your partner.
Hi, Paul.
Hi.
Okay, two of you having bonded, work together on these questions. We have various categories, and here they are.
They are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay. Pick the first one. What would you like, Paul?
Current events.
Current events. The answer is Pappy Van Winkle whiskey. What's the question?
It's the most expensive Kentucky whiskey you can buy.
Okay. And also, a bunch of it was stolen and offered a reward, but that's okay. We're going to consider that correct.
Yay!
Very good. Pappy Van Winkle.
Hey, Paul.
Reward, if in case you see any of that around there. So that would be...
One right and zero wrong.
Okay.
The categories left are people... Places,
what are the categories left?
The categories left, Michael, since you asked, are people, places, things you should have learned in school, science, or odds and ends.
All right, then, Ellen.
Science.
Science it is. Crocodiles fool their prey in one of the following manners. They fool their prey by A, putting sticks on their nose, B, looking like a log, or C, crying for no reason. Crocodiles fool their prey.
Looking
like
a log.
I think it's B, Ellen. What do you think?
Yes, go ahead.
Looking like a log.
You agree, Paul?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yes, looking like a log. It works every time. Very confusing to the prey. You think it's just a log.
That's two right and zero wrong.
All right, what's left?
People, places, things you should have learned in school, or odds and ends.
Back to you, Paul.
People.
People, these are kind of survey results or what have you. Okay, people 50 and older who feel about their age, quote unquote. Is it a third, a quarter, or 99%?
I'm going to say a third.
He says a third.
I'll agree.
She agrees. You're right. You win.
Ellen, satisfying nostalgia for our seasonally departed six-legged friends with a fashionable yikes bug pin made from high-tech polymer clay using the time-honored Millefiori technique from the Joyce Fritz studio. And then keep your keys secure on an attractive Kissel keychain from Hartford, Wisconsin's Automotive Museum. And decorate the holiday tree with an ornament depicting the 1848 Lyceum in Oxford, Mississippi from the University of Mississippi Museum. Wear a pin from Madison's 2005 World Dairy Expo for no particular reason. And dance your way through a Buckaroo Holiday, a Chorale Nocturne, a Hoedown, and a Saturday Night Waltz on the CD What Do You Know About Copeland, with American-flavored liner notes by Michael Feldman on Nimbus Records. Paul, you've won a plethora of classic Feldmania in a collection of Michael Feldman Posse stickers, a half dozen postcards featuring a youthful Michael Feldman, a dozen What Do You Know temporary tattoos, and the exclusively minted Silver Jubilee anniversary quarter designed by Nora Feldman. Then wage war on Christmas, playing the CD Blame It on Christmas, Volume 2, more weird Yuletide classics from around the world on School Kids Records. Win a different battle wearing a fight plumber's butt extra long tail t-shirt with the What Do You Know logo from the Duluth Trading Company, and combat friendly foes playing What Do You Know the Party Game, including contestants, questions, and the peace-loving Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing, available exclusively at notmuch.com. Congratulations to you both.
We'll get you one of those. We want the game too, okay. Thank you, Ellen.
Thank you.
Great job. Thanks, Paul. Hang on there. Make sure you get that. Thanks for playing.
Okay, thanks.
Get ready for the eggnog. The annual What Do You Know office party is right here at Monona Terrace next weekend. That's December 21st.
Yes.
There'll be plenty of food, there'll be fun, and there
eggnog.
Will be polka. Tickets are available online at notmuch.com.
Yeah, don't forget the eggnog. Hey, thanks for coming, y'all. All y'all. Thanks for being here. And thanks for listening.
Planning your next Madison outing? Bring the whole gang to Monona Terrace for a live What Do You Know broadcast. Click over to notmuch.com for special group pricing information and get your tickets today.
Good job, Bitsy. Okay, let's try that again. All right.
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international. Adam Friedrich is our producer, with assistance from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Martin Babcock, and Diana Cook. Our technical director is Tom Blaine, with help from Aubrey Grout and Brad Colvin.
I thought we were all done.
BRI, Public Radio International.